This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And that brings me, Bo, to our guest, Mr. Dave Archer. Now, Dave, you were in the building last night. I know that Squid was with you. You guys, Wes Durham, Mike Conti, did a great job covering it last night, but you knew the vibes around the Falcon fan base long before any of us did got to feel that building a little bit, man. What was the reaction like from your end?
Yeah, it was incredible, Mike. You kind of knew that if it got to a certain guy, we were going to get the reaction we kind of been waiting for several years. And it was so weird because I was in the building last year with the maybe the incredulous feeling that they felt last year, or the befuddled feeling they felt last year after what Atlanta had done in deciding to go with a quarterback, which, as it's turned out, was a pretty good pick as well. But there was an anticipation. We had probably 8 or 10 guys that were kind of circling our area that were kind of trying to lean into us to hear what we were saying and trying to get an idea of what might be happening. But just to watch the drama unfold of a guy that you and I and Bo talked about yesterday morning and that we really have all been talking about for the last several months is, could possibly one of the best defensive players in the draft be still available at 15? And when things stacked up the way they did, the surprises that kind of happened in the first round, early in the top 10 with Carolina and what they did, with what New Orleans, you know, we thought New Orleans might take one of the Georgia players. They did. All of a sudden you look up and Jalen Walker sitting there, and I think all of us became fans at that point, Mike. I mean, as much as we were trying to analyze it and talk about what this guy can do and what he can add to whatever team he goes to, all of a sudden he's sitting in your lap. And then there was the worry that, are they going to take him? Are they going to take him? Because it went, you know, almost the full 10 minutes before they squeezed the trigger on it. But ultimately, Jalen Walker is a Georgia Bulldog. And then we became fans as we were leaving because we had checked out with what happened at 26 for them to jump back in. And really kind of describes what I think Terry Fontenot's been since he's been here, is they don't know what he's going to do. I don't think the rest of the league knows what Terry Fontenot's doing. And I think that's one of the strengths he has, is he does such a good job talking up to the draft. You're not sure where they're going. And then all of a sudden, everybody's talking about, hey, we got to get more draft capital. We can't do this, that, yet. He does what he did last night at 26. So just an amazing evening.
Well, the scouting report, Arch, is he's 75% aggressive. That's what he told us, and I think that number might have jumped up. 75% of the time, Terry trades up every time. Hey, look, I know we're going to get to James Paris. I know we're also going to ask you about the rest of the NFC South. To me, though, with this pick, with Jalen Walker pick with James Paris, one of the things that is kind of unlocked is Jalen Walker. You talked about it yesterday, that he can play everywhere. He's a three-down player. He can cover. He's strong against the run. He's obviously can come off the edge and get that job done too. He can spy. That's something I want to touch on. I feel like the difference, you can talk about clock management all you want, the difference in the Washington game was the second half game plan that Cliff Kingsbury had, where he said, Jaden, drop back, one look, and if it's not there, use your legs. And it destroyed us. Our athleticism in the linebacker core lost us that game. Talk to Arch. Going to touch on what Jalen Walker brings, where you can use him as that spy at times, like he did in the SEC championship game against Jalen Milroe and company, and a little bit against Arch Manning in Texas.
Yeah, his ability to run sideline to sideline, Bo, is really unmatched. We talked, you know, he was the Butkus Award winner a year ago, the top linebacker, and you can put all the accolades on him you want, but just his innate ability to track the football. You can put any type of tape on you want to. You see him walking people down, whether it's a bubble screen to the outside, it's a quarterback that decides to get outside, it's a, you know, if he's kind of with a jet sweep and he's standing in the middle of the field, you look up and outside the numbers, Jalen Walker's making a tackle. I think the part that maybe we tried to emphasize some is the schooling that some of these Georgia players get, all these Georgia players get when they go there. And I know Rusty's talked about this a great deal. When you come out of Georgia and you played your Kirby Smart, you know how to play defensive football. You understand leveraging the ball. You understand the signs to read, the instincts that are there with all these players because they're 4- and 5-star kids, but you got to nurture those. And that's what Georgia and their staff do under Kirby Smart's leadership. They teach these guys to take those instincts and then manifest those into the ability to almost kind of predict where you're going to go. And when they do, then they have that athleticism to go walk people down. But there's no question that the ability for quarterbacks to move in the National Football League. We saw two guys drafted last night at quarterback, Jackson Dart, who the Giants jumped back into. They went in and got, he's an athlete-type player. That's a guy that Walker's had to track down for the last couple of years at Ole Miss. And certainly Cam Ward's ability to create and extend plays. That's what this thing has become to a large extent. I mean, think about Patrick Mahomes extending plays, Jaden Daniels, all these guys extending plays, Jalen Hurts, who won a Super Bowl, extending plays. Do you have guys that can go get them? Well, you just drafted two guys that's what they do. I talked about it on the Atlanta Falcon Radio Network, or I talked about on the AtlantaFalcon.com about some of these guys who were prospects of mine. Both these guys were guys that I termed hunters. These are both hunters, and they can walk people down, and that's what Jalen Walker does.
Atlanta Falcons radio analyst Dave Archer hanging out with us here on this celebratory Friday morning. And Dave, look, man, I think that's a perfect kind of prelude to lead into the conversation about the NFC South. You guys did a great job covering it last night, where you got to 8-9. You thought that Carolina might look at a Georgia player. You thought that Mykael Williams would be in play. You also thought that the Saints, I at least did, thought that there's a possibility they could take a quarterback, a Jackson Dart, a Shadur. You're surprised to see both those teams pass up on these two Georgia guys and a lot of other defensive players in the draft.
Yeah, it was stunning, Mike. I mean, when you get there, you think, okay, yeah, this is where Jalen Walker's coming off the board. He'd been mocked there a lot of times, and I know that's kind of a speculation type deal. But when you looked at their needs, I mean, Carolina needed a receiver. I mean, you saw the emergence of what they had done offensively. We saw it in the last game of the year here that Carolina was trending in the right direction. Dave Canales had done a good job of bringing on their young quarterback, and they'd added a couple pieces there, and so would a wide receiver make some sense? Okay, it made some sense there. For New Orleans, offensive line, you know, they got battered on the offensive side of the football last year. I mean, they were beat up as far as, you know, their ability to move the ball. We played them, and we ended up losing to a team that was really beat up and didn't have a lot of players on the field. But, you know, their quarterback was sacked 37 times last year, which was 13th best in the National Football League. They were 15th in the league rushing the football. So when you start looking at New Orleans, offensive line was not necessarily an area you were leaning toward, and all of a sudden they take the big tackle out of Texas. So that was a surprise, albeit it was a need for them. I just think that there were some other places, and especially with the guys on the board that you thought were on the board or were on the board, that they would take those guys and maybe just – to be selfish and not allow anybody else to get them. And Atlanta ended up being the beneficiary of those two teams going in maybe a little bit of an odd direction.
Arch, why did the Falcons love James Pierce so much? I mean, I know what the accolades are. He's 6'5", 245. He's fast. He's got strong hands. But what really did they see him doing in the Ulbrich Raheem Morris defensive system? Why did they fall in love with that enough to trade back into the first round for him?
Olbrich's defenses the last 3 years, and obviously Robert Saleh, a big part of what they did in New York, but they were in the top three or four in the National Football League each of the last 3 years in total defense. If you remember 2 years ago, they drafted a long, kind of skinny kid out of Iowa State, Will McDonald, a very similar looking guy to what you're going to get with James Pierce, narrow hips, explosive, can bend and get around the corner, but can close. And as I said with you guys' first question, his ability to hunt and go get the football. They're looking for guys that can go track the quarterback down. And Pierce, if you want to just pick straight line, go get the quarterback, you could argue that James Pierce is the best guy in the draft. Even with Abdul Carter in the conversation. He and Mike Green were two slim-hipped guys that play with a relentlessness on the outside. And then when they get clean and they free up, they can finish. And I think that's the thing that's interesting about Pierce is his ability to kind of flatten and finish at the top of things. That was Araku is another one of those kind of guys that does those type of things. But with James Pierce having done it in the SEC, there's some value to having drafted these two guys out of the best conference in America. And they played heavy competition the last several years of their career. That's immediately where they're going to get. We see guys being taken at tackle. New Orleans took a tackle from Texas. Well, those guys played against that guy, Kelvin Banks. So that's who they've been playing against. So you go get guys that are NFL ready. And I think that these two guys are that way.
Arch, appreciate you hanging out with us today, man. Enjoy the rest of the draft, and we'll talk to you again on Monday, I believe, man. But let's go get some more players.
That sounds great, man. Appreciate you, and thanks for joining us last night. Great insight you gave us last night, and I'm sorry that your boy let us down last night with the whole,
Mr. Frodo feet over here.
Man. Don't follow your word.
That's what happens,
dude. I made a promise to my wife, Arch, that I would come home and not be brought home in handcuffs, all right?
I told her, look, I told you I would have bailed you, man. But nonetheless, shout out to Dave Archer for hanging out with us.
Still would have been there.